Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 2:34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful at your service. That's what they call me around here, folks, Mr. Wonderful. And I completely agree. I completely agree with their assessment. And it's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. Thank you for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to get a lot smarter because our good friend Ken Davis is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Kenneth C. Davis is the author of Don't Know Much About History and that whole series of Don't Know Much About books, including Don't Know Much About Mythology and others. He's just a book machine. He's cranked out a number of these. He sold something under a billion copies of these books galactically. And he's here to talk to us a little bit about the history of this holiday we're about to celebrate. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Something under a billion is no exaggeration.
That's a
completely accurate statement, is it?
I would never be prone to hyperbole, Ken. You know me.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to be with you. Thanks.
And Ken, you're going to be on television on Thanksgiving Day, aren't you?
That's right. I've been told I have a great face for radio, but I will be on television tomorrow on the CBS morning show. So.
And a voice for newspaper, I heard, too.
Oh, well, you're really on your game this morning.
Hey, I'm a little bit riled up a little bit today, Ken, about something. Canada has already celebrated their Thanksgiving last month.
That's right.
Now, I don't want to create an international incident here or anything, but I'm a little riled up because not only do they co-opt our Thanksgiving Day and have it early, they preempt us like Florida trying to get ahead of Massachusetts or Iowa or something in the primaries. Not only do they co-opt our date and our holiday. But I understand, talking to some of my Canadian friends, at least they used to be friends, that I ask them, what is your fare? What do you put on the table on your Thanksgiving? And they say, oh, it's just like yours, turkey and stuffing and things like that. That really irritates me. I mean, why can't they have their own? Why can't they be original, Ken? What's up with this?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's a lot more historically accurate to have Thanksgiving in October than to have it in November. So we can start with that because the
Are you taking the Canadian side over me, Ken?
I'm going to be an international diplomat here, and actually, in this case, yes, I'm taking the Canadian side because the Pilgrims certainly.
I have the button here, don't you, Ken? I can cut you off at any time, right?
Here's the thing. My interest is only in accuracy, not in political correctness or America First or anything like that.
I'm all
about the true story. No, the fact is that the Pilgrims, when they did celebrate that somewhat mythical first feast, it was in October, and it was much more of a traditional harvest feast than a Thanksgiving Day. In fact, for the Pilgrims, a day of Thanksgiving would have meant a day of prayer and fasting, not what most of us have in mind for tomorrow. So the first thing is there's a problem of what we call it. The second problem is that, indeed, the Pilgrims, when they did celebrate, it was in October. They had survived the first brutal year. Nearly a year since they had arrived in December of 1620.
Only half of them had survived, right?
That's correct. Half of the 100 or so passengers on the Mayflower did not make it through the first year. Most of them died of starvation, disease, terribly weakened malnutrition from being in a terribly weakened state. They probably had suffered from scurvy, which by itself isn't fatal, but when coupled with exposure to the elements. The first year was extremely, extremely difficult for these people. They had arrived in December in Massachusetts, not a good time to start a new colony. colony in what is and what was certainly a very forbidding environment. So the Canadians have the date right. The reason we get November really comes about over a long period of time. The first Thanksgiving in American history officially proclaimed was in 1777, and it was George Washington proclaiming it in honor of the victory at Saratoga. Had nothing to do with the Pilgrims. Later, he asked for another one in 1789 in gratitude for the adoption of the U.S. Constitution. And again, nothing to do with the Pilgrims. Interesting one there is that people complained because Washington had a national day, and they said that was against state rights.
Hold on to that thought, Ken. I'm kind of bummed out here, folks. I can't believe it that the Canadians got us on this one. And so I'm going to try to recover over this break. 20 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Ken Davis is our guest. Stay with us. Blue, blue, blue sweaty shoes.
Hi, Jim. Renee Grant Williams here, author of Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention, something you certainly do. I want to congratulate you on your first decade anniversary. I look forward to being part of your show for many, many more years to come. All the best to you and Devonna.
We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're celebrating, now we're celebrating our second decade, the beginning of our second decade on the air, ladies and gentlemen. And we're glad you're part of it, and we're glad Ken Davis is part of it, too. He's one of our resident historians, and he's certainly our historian when it comes to the holidays. And he's the author of Don't Know Much About History and many other books. How many books in this series, Ken?
It's hard for me to even say it. It's up to 25 now.
25 don't know much about books?
That's correct. Seven for adults and 18 for kids, so I guess that adds up to 25. And,
wow.
Well, I should mention shamelessly that one of those children's books is actually called Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims, the wonderful, if I can toot my own horn.
Go ahead. This is what
book.
This...
Yeah, no, it's really a book for kids, but I find that adults love it when they get into it as well, because, again, it's the real story of the real people and what they did. It's illustrated in a sort of cartoon style, but it's fun, it's interesting.
Is that available right now where books are sold?
It would be in all the bookstores and certainly from the online booksellers as well.
The children's book, Don't Know Much About the Pilgrims.
That's right. Nice, inexpensive paperback and wonderful thing to share around.
How old a child would enjoy that? I have a very precocious 7-year-old grandson. Would he enjoy that book?
It's perfect. I mean, the publisher builds it as for ages from 6 to 9, but I think, you know, it's a 7-year-old fits right in there perfectly.
I'm going to go find that.
Older kids and adults have a lot of fun with it. I have a great cutaway of what the Mayflower looked like and what it was like to live on board this 90-foot long boat. You know, people have an impression of the Mayflower, and they think Titanic. We're talking about a very small ship that was out on the water for a couple of months. The 100 people who were on board all lived on one deck, below deck.
Of them didn't like the other half much.
And, well, they weren't all pilgrims. I think that's the point.
Were laden separatists, half of them.
The pilgrims were, that's correct, laden separatists, meaning laden Holland. They had been chased out of England for their religious views, tried to make a go of it in Holland for 10 or 11 years, were not happy there because it wasn't England. And their children were growing up learning more Dutch than English. So they were offered the opportunity to establish a new colony in America and took that chance. But half of the people on the Mayflower were not separatists. They were simply those enterprise
explorers who were merchants and people like that.
Well, they were coming. They were mostly farmers, Englishmen of that time. Very few of them could own their own property. Very few of them could have any hope of passing property on to their children. So this was in 1620, like it is today, a land of opportunity, and that's what they were coming from for. And that's one of the reasons that when they did arrive in December of 1620, there was practically a mutiny because the strangers, as they were called, the non-pilgrims, were really wanted to go go off on their own and do things their own way, so they decide, well, we better have some rules for how we're going to do this, and they wrote what we call the Mayflower Compact. And
wonderful document.
One of the first written constitutions in Anglo-American history, and it laid out a very rudimentary form of document, a democracy. Of course, it applied only to adult males.
Didn't they write this right after they got run off of Provincetown, what is now Provincetown, where the Indians ran them off?
Well, it was when they were just about to anchor at Provincetown, and the Indians didn't actually run them off.
But I love that story, Ken. You're bursting my bubble here. I love that story.
Well, they actually what they did when they first of all they landed on what we now call Provincetown,
the tip of Cape Cod.
It's marked by a monument there. They kind of explored around Cape Cod for a few weeks and didn't find enough significant enough fresh water, didn't find a place to establish a colony. They obviously didn't understand the value of, you know, beachfront property.
Right.
That was but they did find corn that had been buried by some local Indians and
in a graveyard.
Yep, and so they dug it up and helped themselves. No mention of whether they left an IOU for it, but they had been on board, you know, for a couple of months, and enough dried peas porridge. They helped themselves to some fresh corn that they had found.
Yeah. At that point, a child was born, Peregrine.
The first child is actually born on the Oceanus. A boy.
So there was a child before Peregrine.
That's right. Born on the Mayflower during the passage. Imagine a nearly due woman setting off.
Amazing.
1620 on this boat into a world. They had an idea of where they were going, because of course the Virginia colony had been established. Much earlier, and so they had even descriptions of New England had been
there were named, quite a like, few crossings had happened by then.
Oh yeah, and that's another misconception or sort of legend part of the story. Europeans and Englishmen were familiar with this part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They had been fishing around the coasts off of what we now call New England, Northeast America, for a very, very long time. There had been a lot of exchange between Europeans and Indians already by that time. In fact, the diseases that wiped out so many of the Indians were probably introduced
probably
by those
came
people.
from the and Europeans. Hold on to that thought, Ken. When we come back, by the way, folks, Tisquantum or Squanto had crossed, by the time the Pilgrims landed, he crossed the Atlantic three times. When we come back, I'm going to let Ken see whether I was right or not. Ten till, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get to the when you get there. And if you subscribe this week, and that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com, if you subscribe this week, you'll get my version of the Thanksgiving holiday, what gave rise to it, my version of it, which will have some facts in it, and including what I think the impact of those people, what they had on us, and what they bequeathed to us, and what is now our stewardship of what they gave us. And so you if you subscribe this week, you'll get a copy of that newsletter, which we just published this last Sunday. Ken Davis is our guest. Kenneth C. Davis, the author of Don't Know Much About History, and that whole series of 20-plus books, something under a billion copies. So, Ken, give us your website, please.
It's simple, don'tknowmuch.com, all one word, no apostrophe in the don't, and it's, you'll find my adult books and children's books there, as well as the audio versions. I find a lot of people like to listen to them as they're driving along, or a great way. And there's a new book called Don't Know Much About Anything, which is a fun collection of quizzes on things like food and holidays. It's some people say trivia. I don't. I think it's all important, useful information, everything from Benjamin Franklin and Einstein to where popcorn came from.
don't know much about .com. Don't know much .com.
That's right.
Don't know much .com. Okay, two quick things. I just need yes or no answers, and I want to move on. I got to know. Oceanus, was that the kid's name?
That was the boy's name, born on the Mayflower.
And Peregrine was the girl's name, who was born right off the tip of Cape Cod, I think.
That's correct.
Still on the Mayflower. Did they survive the first year? Do we know?
Yes, both of them survived the first year.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Only four of the women survived the first the first year. That's an astonishing idea.
That is astonishing.
Were, you know, of course, there were others who came soon after, and you know, they sort of got that really second fiddle in history. You know, the people who followed the Mayflower pilgrim, because there were other pilgrims who came along, and other people who were not pilgrims. In a very short time, this was a commercial venture. These were ships that were backed by what we would call venture capitalists back in London.
People
who would put up the money and expected a return on an investment. And in a very short time, more commercial ventures were coming over. And a few years after the first pilgrims arrived, for instance, another ship came. People weren't too happy with the way the pilgrims ran things, so they set up what we now know as Salem, Massachusetts, which is the second settlement.
Ken, let me stop you for a second, because I want to get into something that we just got to talk about.
Sure.
You got to talk to us about Squanto, just Squantum.
This is the one we tell the kids, and we never explain how. That the English are there for a few months. They leave the women and some of the children are on the boat while the men start to build the first common house. And finally, in March, a kind of bedraggled, skinny Native American wanders into the camp, and miracle of miracles, he speaks English. A day or two later, he comes back with another Indian who also speaks English. One is Squanto, one is Samoset.
Right. Samoset was the first one.
That's correct. And both of them had been captured by European sailors. Spanish sailors in one case, and then sold to an Englishman. They learn English, finally sail around back and forth a few times, finally make their way back to New England in search of their own villages.
I got 1 minute.
But we're able to speak English. Squanto, in fact, was from another tribe, but was adopted into the Wampanoag.
But they were critical for the survival of the pilgrims that first year, weren't they?
Completely critical for the survival in that first year. In the case of Squanto, he remained somewhat allied with the English for the rest of his life. He was from a different tribe. He was never completely accepted into the Wampanoag.
Right.
He was quite content. He had been well treated by an Englishman who helped him return.
Where would history be today without Squanto?
It's one of those extraordinary, miraculous.
I'd like to think that kind of humanity, as primitive as it was, made a big difference in the history of America. That's what I'd like to think, Ken.
Humanity is always part of the story, and that's what the textbooks leave out, and I try and put into the Don't Know Much About the Stories.
Exactly. And don'tknowmuch.com, right, Ken?
Don'tknowmuch.com.
That's the website. Check it out when you get a chance. Hey, Ken, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks for having me again.
See you next time.
It's always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.